Good morning. Like Charlie noted, we have a wonderful crowd this morning, and it's great to have everybody with us. I actually had the privilege this morning of sitting in the back of the auditorium during class. Those of you that know me, I'm not a back row kind of guy, all right? I like to be up front. I'm easily distracted. I'm much, much better up front. But I had the privilege of sitting in the back, and it was so neat. It was so neat to sit in the back this morning and look around the auditorium and to look at all the back of the heads, but know the story, to know the story of so many who are here this morning. The story of those who are actually walking alone now because they've lost someone very dear to them, a spouse, but they're here. The story of those who have literally, like Jesus said in Matthew 10, have had to leave mother and father because their values are so different now from their parents, but they're here. So many who had to go to a lot of effort to just be here this morning because they have like 15 children now in their family. And they're here. And on and on and on it goes. You are surrounded this morning by a wonderful family of faith. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of that family this morning. I really enjoyed sitting in the back this morning, but I won't be there next week, all right? I'll need to move up. I want to give you one little item of interest real quick while we have everybody here for our first hour. Beginning next Sunday afternoon, Stephen and Wheeler Crawford are going to be hosting the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University. This is their project that they asked to put on, and they've been inviting people to come and be a part of that. And if you were thinking about signing up, do so soon. That's going to begin next Saturday afternoon, and they're going to meet here in the building at 3 o'clock, and it's going to be 9 classes. They're offering free child care out of their pocket for those that want to come. And even if you just want to come and check out the first lesson to check it out, you're more than welcome to do that. That is next Sunday, so we appreciate them. And if you have any more questions, get with them on that. So just one of the many good things that individuals in our congregation are doing, and I appreciate them so much for their interest in that matter. All right. You got the Heavenly Library with you? If not, grab one out of the pew, and I'd like for you to take down the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you might as well go ahead and put your bookmark there. We're not just going to be there today. We're going to be in this passage many days in the upcoming weeks. For 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, is actually our theme for the year as a family in Christ. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I probably don't need to explain to this audience what an ambassador actually is. An ambassador, as you know, is a very noble position. It's someone who has been given the authority. It's somebody who's been given the privilege. More importantly, it's someone who's been given the honor of speaking on behalf of an entire nation, and especially the king of that nation. It's somebody who goes to another country, leaving the comfort, leaving the surroundings that they're so accustomed to, leaving their own culture, and actually giving up all those conveniences and lifestyle luxuries and going to a foreign land with one purpose: to represent their home. They don't speak for themselves. They don't share their own message. They don't go to cut deals. They simply go to share what their king wants them to share in this foreign land. They're there to persuade. They're there to negotiate. They're there, more importantly, to deliver a message from home. It's this metaphor that Paul is now using to describe himself and to describe the other apostles. And he says, I am an ambassador. And I've come with a great message. Go back to chapter 4, verse 1, and you'll see the context and what is actually driving this whole thought. And it's a ministry. He's talking about a ministry, a service like no other. And his ministry is to share a message from his king. And Paul's amazed by that. He's amazed by that for many reasons, as we're going to get into this morning, especially in our final hour. He's amazed that he gets to do it. That it's him. The king has chosen him. And he's even more amazed by the message itself. It's not a message of doom. Now, there's many, many men who have been called by God in Scripture to deliver a message. You have some of the prophets, Obadiah and others, and Amos, who are deliver message of judgment. Man, they're to come in and say, it's over. But then there's other prophets like Hosea, who come and deliver a message of hope and peace. Paul says our message is a ministry of reconciliation. And when you get to chapter 5, it's a word that is used over and over again. Be reconciled to God. Our ministry is that of reconciliation. And so you have here at the forefront, yes, the idea that we are ambassadors, but our ambassadorship is simply one of a message. And that message is reconciliation. Well, what's reconciliation? Well, we think of it in our kind of our terms, and the way that we would see it is that I'm in a spat with somebody else, or we're in a disagreement, and we're going to have to reconcile out and reason this together, because we're at an impasse here and we've got friction, and we're just going to have to work this out. Well, the ministry of reconciliation between us and God is a little bit different. Because God didn't do anything wrong. He's not the one who caused it. He's not the aggressor. He's not the one at fault. But yet, he's the seeker. Which is kind of odd. The one who has been done wrong, the one who has been hurt, is the one that's seeking the peace. And Paul says he's choosing me as his instrument to share his ministry of reconciliation. I want you to just, and we're going to do this in our first hour, we're just going to focus on this ambassadorship and this message of reconciliation. And I want to do it in a way that I think will really hit home with you. I want to go to a story that I know everybody here knows very well. Even if you're new to church, you're new to Christianity, or even if you're just really not, just the first time, maybe this is your first time even to visit a church, you've probably have heard this story. It's the story of the prodigal son. So if you want to turn over there, that's in Luke 15, okay? If you want to turn over there, you can. But here's what I want you to think about. It's the part of the story that's not written, okay? And don't think that I'm trying to rewrite Scripture here. But if you were an ambassador for the Father in that story, and it just so happened that you were in the same foreign country as that son, And you knew that son was there. And you knew that there was an opportunity for you two to talk. What would you say to that son? If you got the opportunity to represent the father, and you know he's hurting, you have seen his tears, you have cried with him, you have felt his anguish, and now you get to go and talk to his boy. You get to go and talk to that child. What would you say? You're the ambassador, the minister of reconciliation. Well, the first thing I'd like for you to consider is this. When would you go to the boy? Would you go to him while he's still got a lot of money and he has a lot of those evil friends and he's doing a ton of evil things and he is enjoying life? Is that when you would go to him? You know, oh, here's a great time. He just went to a great concert and really dealt into a lot of debauchery and he's got all these evil people around him. Oh, there he is with all those harlots. Oh, let's go talk to him. Would that be the time? Probably not. He's probably not going to be willing to listen then. Or would you wait until all the money's gone? Because you know it's going to be going. And you know the train's going to be coming off the tracks anytime soon. When he's hungry. When he's hurting. When he's desperate. Chances are you're probably going to get a better reception and have a better opportunity when the ears are a little more open, wouldn't you think? In this story, he's in a pig pen. All right, so you wait till he's in the pig pen, and now here's what you got to think about. What am I going to wear? Now, I know you're thinking, that's kind of weird. What are you going to wear? Well, an ambassador, if you think about ambassadors for their countries, usually carry with them their customs. Wouldn't that be fair? I tell you, I love it, and this is kind of one of those neat things for me. When these ambassadors come from, like, Africa, you know, you never look at them and you go, oh, there's an American. No. You immediately go, oh, he's not from here. It shows. If you were going to go and visit this boy, would you dress like everybody else in the foreign land? Would you dress in their garments? Would you dress in... No, because those are the people that did him wrong. That's the lifestyle that cost him so much. That probably, would you dress in all the pig slop? You know, you're wanting to fit in. So you cover yourself in tons of filth and you just dress real nasty and you're like, no? Well, first of all, who would really want to do that? But second of all, if he's in the pig pen and he's willing to listen, why would he want to listen to somebody else who's there as well? You'd like to put on the robe of that father, wouldn't you? The father's robe that he gives to those he loves. Because you're there to represent him. And then, how would you begin your conversation? Dude, your dad is so mad, he is going to whoop you. Do you know how much he's been crying? You are a dead man. You lost it all. What were you thinking? Would you tell him about his brother? Your brother is so mad. I don't think he'll ever forgive you. Just letting you know that. And if you do go home, you're going to have to work. You're going to be a slave. You're going to be a dog to him. Nah. You'd probably begin with this. Can I help you? And I can help you with one very important piece of information. I know your daddy will forgive you. I know right now he's at the end of the road looking for you. And I know He wants you back. And I know He wants to restore to you all the things that you've lost. In fact, here's what else I know. I know He's got this big fat calf that He's just ready to celebrate with. And He's willing to make sacrifices even now for you. I mean, wouldn't that be your message? You may not be dressed in the pig slop, but you would hug Him in His and say, "Why don't you come back home?" You always have the option to go home. Be reconciled to your Father. Your Father has done nothing wrong, but yet He still loves you and He still cares for you. Your Father is wanting to provide the reconciliation. In fact, He wants me to speak on His behalf, and I am speaking for Him, and everything I'm sharing to you comes straight from Him. I want you to hear the words of your Father. And can you imagine if that young boy listened to you and you got to walk with him back home to his dad? And to see that reunion? Paul says, "That's what I am. I'm an ambassador. And my ministry and my message is a ministry of reconciliation. And what I do is I bring them back home. I bring them back home to the Father." Can I ask you a question? Is there anything that you can do in this world more noble, greater, more important than that? Can you think of anything? That's what Paul's saying to us. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we come with a message of reconciliation. And it's a message that reminds those who are lost. It reminds those who are hurting. It reminds those who are at odds with God that there is hope and peace can be made. And it's not only that. Go to 2 Corinthians 5 and go to the very end of the chapter. Go to what he says and reminds us of at the very end. Here's what makes it all possible. Here's why peace is even on the table. Because for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, the Father's made the peace possible because he offered his Son. He offered the sacrifice. He offered the means of peace. That's how much he loves us. What a message. Who wouldn't want to hear that? More importantly, who has heard that would not want to share that with others? In our final hour this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to really get into more of a textual, verse by verse, expository study of this text. All right, it's a great text. If you've never studied 2 Corinthians 5, you are going to love this. It is a wonderful text. But for now, I'd like for you to do one thing for me. Don't be the ambassador at this moment. Be the boy. Be the boy. Even if you've already been reconciled to the Lord and you've already had your sins washed away through the blood that He provides and you've been a Christian for a long time, I want you to be the boy. And just remember this as you take your seat at the table. What's been done for us? What's been made available for us so that we can have this reconciliation? For in essence, that's what these emblems represent to those who belong to the Lord. It's a table of peace. And it's a reminder. It's a reminder of the great cost, the price that was paid to bring the peace to us so that we could come back to the Father. For our sakes, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God.